Like,
I don't understand why you have to dig so deep into it.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the 138th episode, right?
138th, yes.
Yeah, oh, wow, I'm losing track. We're just making our way through the 100s, aren't we?
Mm-hmm. Slowly. One day we'll look back and be, my, how the world has changed. Back when the world was new.
But
one thing's for sure, I've gone back. I stand by my statements in the past that everything editorially, everything multimedia we've done, I stand by it as being able to stand up to anything in the industry, but there's no disputing the fact that the quality of the audio has improved, that the process has been streamlined. I mean, I don't think I'm out of place to say that I feel like we've exponentially improved the product here since July of 2017.
I would say so. If you go back and listen to some of the first, and even into like the 20s and 30s, oh, that audio is rough. But people are still listening, so thank you to those individuals who have stuck through the test of time, and hopefully the audio sounds better to you, because it certainly sounds better to me. So,
and to you newbies, you're basically like my eldest nephew, Michael Ray, who just turned 14, going, he doesn't understand what it was like to be a Saints fan in the late 90s. You know, he cried when they got knocked out of the playoffs, which I was upset too. I mean, I don't think literally cried. I don't mean to make him sound like a baby, but I'm going, Michael Ray, you should really enjoy this time where they're not being called the Aints anymore.
Yeah, well, I'm a Lions fan, so.
So you've no idea as far as go back and listen to episode 1, 2, or 3, and then 1 in the 20s, you know, before we really had honed our craft.
Yeah, I'll have to go back and.
Oh, especially my audio, because we didn't have my audio really well done at that time, because it was calling in, and then
yeah, we were doing that over phone.
Situation sorted out.
We were doing that over phone. I guess it's interesting to look back. It's been about a year, actually, just maybe over a year when we first started. So, yeah, we were calling in on phone. I remember having that phone next to the little microphone that I had, so the audio was basically going through one microphone, and it was my phone, and I would do it in the bedroom with the. With the computer on the bed. It was kind of crazy. It was bizarre, but this is a much better setup today. Anyway, speaking of setups, we are going to make some predictions. So, predictions for the next Supreme Court justice that will be nominated soon enough, and we don't know who it is, but who wants to go first? Rock, paper, scissors.
It's allegedly down to 5 names, and specifically 2 apparently are really
contenders.
No cuts, because the president is big on it being a, quote, generational pick. Generation is generally considered to be 30, 32 years. So pretty much both of the main contenders that we know of from the word on the street is that they're both in their 40s.
So... That being, I'll just go ahead and take a guess.
You can talk about them first and then just kind of round up with, sure. I mean, because who the hell really knows what's going to happen? The president loves being unpredictable.
Indeed. So
he might nominate Ted Cruz.
He might. Who knows? He is certainly unpredictable. But I think the top 2 candidates and the 2 people I think we'll kind of do an expose on. And if more come up that seem to be better contenders or equal contenders, we can do a little expose on them as well. But this is Amy Coney Barrett. Did I say that right? What were we going to go with?
Well, I think it's Barrett, but it really doesn't matter. I haven't heard her name said aloud outside of mainstream media circles, so, I mean, they could have it wrong.
Barrett.
They had the election wrong.
Did I say Barrett? We going with Barrett? Barrett. We're going to go with Barrett. Okay. And the second is Brett Kavanaugh. So I think from my research, there was more opinions, basically like his precedent from Brett Kavanaugh, but... The similarities of these 2 individuals, they are both in their 40s, I believe. If not, actually, no, that's a lie. Kavanaugh is 53, but within the same, I think she's 46, he's 53.
She's 46.
Yes. Obviously, both lawyers, that's dumb. They both worked in the District of Columbia, and they are both Catholic, I believe. That's another...
Sidebar, I know, but that's part of my issue. Not that I don't like the guy, but with the current chairman of the Federal Reserve, he's not an economist.
Hmm. So, and that plays into this.
We're going to be a judge to be on the Supreme Court.
Oh, yes. You're very true. Very true.
So maybe an economist should have a say over interest rates.
Maybe.
But anyway.
Maybe. Of note, Amy was born in your home state and home city of New Orleans, Louisiana.
Exactly. The big sleazy.
Mm-hmm. She did subsequently get an education from Rhodes College and then went to law school at Notre Dame, whereas Kavanaugh went to, I believe it was Yale Law School, where he got his BA and then his law degree as well. So pretty switched on guy. So we'll go ahead and just start with Brett Kavanaugh here. And so his background, he was a DC guy, born and raised, like I said, Roman Catholic. Definitely had the, when it comes to education, Georgetown Prep School, Yale Law College, like it's pretty solid trajectory. and he clerked for Anthony Kennedy and Alex Kaczynski in the Ninth Circuit. And so he's definitely had his background. What's that? Yes, very different. That is very true. And then prior to his clerkship, he had earned a one-year fellowship at the Office of the Solicitor General in the United States. So he, I think we can sort of move. So he was sworn in by President Bush into the DC Circuit nomination and confirmation there. And he definitely is. Looking over his opinions, and I don't mean to just be this crazy, just expose on these individuals, but I don't know that their belief or, well, I don't say will of the law, interpretation of the law, rather, is going to be that much different. Just like, I don't know how much different Neil Gorsuch is from Amy, because they are both part of the Federalist Society, but we'll stick with Brett Kavanaugh here for a second.
Neil Gorsuch is a reasonable follow-on to Antonin Scalia, so...
Well, yes, and we can get into that with with Amy Coney here. But some of the opinions from Kavanaugh that I thought were interesting, and sort of interesting in the in context to his pick with President Trump... or from President Trump, if it truly is the pick. But he wrote an article for the Minnesota Law Review that argued that U.S. presidents should be exempt from time-consuming and distracting lawsuits and investigations, which would ill-serve the public interest, especially in times of financial or national security. He wrote that in 2009, and obviously it garnered some attention in 2016, 17, and 18, as the president of the United States is currently the subject of investigation.
Yeah, that's not going to be pretty at confirmation hearings.
No, not at all.
Moderates such as Susan Collins of Republican of Maine and Senator Murkowski of Alaska, that kind of puts them in a bad situation heading to the ballot.
I mean, if you could imagine a confirmation hearing where they say, hey, I'd like you to explain the Minnesota Law Review and your article talking about presidents being exempt from time-consuming and distracting lawsuits, he could easily say, I wrote that in 2009. This is 2018. Like, this was my view then.
Yes. I would come back with, not to interrupt,
no,
continue, but I would come back with, so you weren't aware of Watergate?
Right. It is.
You weren't aware of Bill Clinton's?
Yeah, it is it is a really... interesting opinion, and my guess is that, and it's not really an opinion, it's just, it's an article he wrote, it is an opinion, but that will be a tough one for public opinion if he gets confirmed, if he was the nominee and was confirmed.
That.
What's that?
I would have a problem with that.
I have a huge problem with it, because not only are obviously the
supposed to be the chief they're supposed to be the chief law enforcement.
Yeah, exactly. So that's,
you know, we're going to say the president's above examination.
Basically, kind of what he's saying here. So this is a little tough one for me. And probably the most out of all his opinions, most of the other opinions are, well, they're kind of go in line with his,
do continue. I know you had a couple lined up.
No, they're not a huge bunch, but he did, wrote for a divided panel, striking down a Clean Air Act regulation. Not surprising. Typically in
not
line.
Not surprising that he was picked.
Yeah, exactly. So in this mind, sort of like anti-regulation, he did concur with the judgment on Ali al-Bahal, Ban Lul. So this was a, I'm trying to remember where he was from, but essentially what it was is the opinion was that this individual could be retroactively convicted of war crimes, providing existing statute already made it a crime, because it does not alter the definition of a crime, the defenses, or the punishment. So anyway, that was another kind of like a law and order kind of decision. And then, of course,
I don't entirely disagree with that.
I don't necessarily either. I'm not, these certainly are not whether I agree or disagree. And then the other major one was the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. He challenged the constitutionality of that, and then wrote for the divided panel, finding that the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau design was unconstitutional. So a lot of Consumer Financial Protection Bureau unconstitutional regulation. So you can definitely sort of see where he
he's more of a libertarian in those ways.
Probably.
I wouldn't call him a conservative.
It's interesting because where it's harder for him, it's harder for me to pick out what his sort of ideology is just based on his opinions, we sort of can, but it's a whole lot different from Amy Coney, what are we going with? Barrett.
Amy Coney Barrett. That kind of by the being entirely against regulation or the bureau, that's more of a libertarian thing. Many conservatives may want a weakened statute or weakened bureau, but I haven't heard very many mainstream conservatives say they want to get rid of it altogether.
Yeah, and I don't know that that's his view, that he wants to get rid of it altogether. However, he did find the design unconstitutional, and I think that warrants maybe another episode, or certainly greater investigation that I need to do to find out what about it they found unconstitutional. But I mean, even if you have a Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, like there still can be things, even though like we said, the spirit of things is good. If it's unconstitutional, it's unconstitutional. I have to look at it. I don't know what that was, the decision. Now, this Amy is a little different. I think it's Judge Amy Barrett is a little easier to lock down in terms of where her, I guess, maybe beliefs and ideology lines. Although her beliefs and ideology is actually found, is rooted in a group or society that finds that there should be no will or biased with in terms of the law. But let's just go ahead. Her education and career, like you said before, she was born in New Orleans and went to high school there and did very well, graduated magna cum laude in Bachelor of Arts in Literature, went to Rhodes College, and then subsequently went to Notre Dame for her law school. She also served as a law clerk as well to Lawrence Silberman at the U.S. Court of Appeals in the District of Columbia. She also clerked for Anton Scalia from 98 to 99, and then worked in private practice, and then went back to teaching at Notre Dame. So this is where it gets a little different from Kavanaugh, and that is she is a member of the Conservative Federalist Society. So one might ask, what is the Federalist Society? Well, I will tell you.
What is the Federalist Society, Nate?
I will discuss. So, what I will tell you is some notable members of the society. So, Chief Justice John Roberts Antonin Scalia was part of the society, Samuel Alito, Clarence Thomas, Neil Gorsuch. So, any of these names ringing a bell? Because if they're not, they should. So, or you need to, or you need to most definitely tune into this podcast quite a bit.
The knock is, before you get into the Federalist Society, is that she was only confirmed to federal court in September 2017.
Yes, that is very true.
Do continue.
A couple more notable members that I'm looking at here. Ted Cruz is a member of the society, and John Ashcroft is a member of the society as well. So, what is it? So the principle, or the purpose, is to promote the principles that state exists to preserve freedom, that the separation of governmental powers is central to our Constitution, and that it is emphatically the province and duty of the judiciary to say what the law is and not what it should be. So this, I was waiting for a hear, hear, or this seems to be your, you would definitely fall into this. If you were, I suppose,
into the anti-federalist territory. That's more, again, I'm not opposed to a federal state.
Yes. So, Federalist Society, organization of conservatives and libertarians seeking to reform the current American legal system in accordance with textualist or originalist interpretations of the U.S. Constitution. So now you can see why Antonin Scalia was part of this group. It's interesting to see Neil Gorsuch there as well. But definitely that originalist intent. The idea is they look at the Federalist Papers for articulation of the virtue of judicial restraint as written by Alexander Hamilton. So this is sort of the foundation.
My favorite founding father.
Exactly. So this is actually, and then, so it sort of goes... both James Madison is sort of their society. Well, the society logo is the silhouette of James Madison, but they go through this, the judicial restraint as written by Alexander Hamilton. And I'll just read that very quickly. For those of you who are wondering what originalists are or how you actually interpret the Constitution, he wrote, "It can be of no weight to say that the courts, on the pretense of repugnancy, may substitute their own pleasure to the constitutional intentions of the legislature." This is probably the more important part. "The courts must declare the sense of the law, and if they should be disposed to exercise will instead of judgment, the consequence would equally be the substitution of their pleasure to that of the legislative body." Jesus, why didn't they just... Man, these guys obviously didn't text. You imagine if they had cell phones back in the day and they were texting, like, Jesus. Just...
I'm glad they didn't. It'd be like texting 30 of me, because I know I use proper punctuation, everything in text. One point of note here is that the strongest position of these thinkers, I am not one of them, but not that they disagree with Amendments 2 through 27. They simply believe that if the First Amendment was followed strictly, there'd be no need for any of that. So you'll hear the statement that, for example, they should have stopped after the First Amendment.
Yeah, and there's a couple of podcasts out there that talk about that. But it is very interesting that idea that if you follow the First Amendment, so I don't know if they're like clauses or whatever, but let's say there's 1, 2, and 3 points in the First Amendment, that if you follow them in order, they sort of build upon one.
Freedom of speech covers all.
Yeah, that you build upon them, and that freedom of speech effectively covers everything. It is an interesting point. However, that is not the case. But
that's another dozen podcasts, right?
Exactly,
there.
Which is be quite interesting. Let me see more.
I'm not, however, subscribe to that view, folks. Just for those wondering, yes, I'm a limited Federalist fan of Alexander Hamilton, but I've never heard Alexander say that he was against something like the Bill of Rights. Yeah.
So how does the Federalist Society, I know we're sort of getting away from Barrett, we're going to go with Barrett.
Judge Amy,
is it important to talk about her? Like we gave Kavanaugh a little bit more airtime. The thing is this society or this sort of ideology on how to approach law, I think, is more important, if that's probably how she constructs her framework to interpretation and precedent, et cetera. But how does this... Yes. So how does this play into the Trump administration? So they've been incredibly influential in the Trump administration. Obviously, they helped select Justice Neil Gorsuch, and they basically assembled a list of, I think it was like 21 people that he could choose from back when they looked for a nominee to replace Antonin Scalia. So my guess is that they're doing the exact same thing right now.
They have.
And it sort of, you know, essentially could be, I mean, it's a massive society, so it's not surprising that they do, that they would do this, but this is definitely your pool of individuals that I think you would look at for your pick. And I thought it was interesting to actually dive into that a little deeper than her specifically, because I think most of her belief will stem from this society's overall beliefs. So, and I think there's an article, obviously HuffPost is definitely left-winging, but there was an article that even came out, I think it was a couple days ago, excuse me, yesterday, that Trump isn't remaking the Supreme Court. Leonardo Leo is, and he is the Federalist Society leader, and he has helped put roughly 3 conservative justices into the court, and he's probably, well, I don't know. We have to find out.
If that helps them sleep better at night at the Huffington Post.
I don't think anyone at the Huffington Post is sleeping well tonight or at any night in the last year and a half till today. But yeah, I mean, this Federalist Society definitely played a central role. It was in confirming 3 Supreme Court justices, John Roberts, Alito, and Gorsuch. And you know, have a chance to replace Anthony Kennedy here when it comes up. So, I don't know. Thoughts, picks? What do you think?
Looking at these 2 names, I think they're going to have a problem with Kavanaugh because that first opinion.
Yeah.
It
doesn't mean that he doesn't get confirmed though, because there's been a lot of problems with a lot of people, but they go ahead and confirm anyway.
Well, I feel like that could land him in similar hot water to Robert Bork, who ended up not being confirmed in the 80s. He was a constructionist nominated by President Reagan, but he was not a benefactor in terms of monetary gain, aside from the job he took. But he was the person who gained power as a result of the so-called Saturday Night Massacre, where President Nixon wanted the special prosecutor Archibald Cox fired. Richardson, the attorney general, refused, resigned, his replacement resigned. Well, finally, Robert Bork took the job and said, I'll fire him. And he fired him. Well, so that came back to haunt him in the 80s. Well, when you've got somebody who says, well, basically Watergate and the investigation, prosecution of President Clinton for perjuring himself on a federal grand jury shouldn't have even happened, that's murkier territory than one might think, because as a Republican, I would be hard pressed to want to take that under the ballot in November next to my name.
Mm-hmm.
He's a harder sell.
Yeah. Whereas
Barrett, I think it would be, I don't want to say genius pick. I'll let others call that one, but that's in essence, aside from the fact she's only been in the federal court system since September 2017. Aside from that, it's one of those things where I feel like President Trump could nominate and basically dare people to oppose her. A mother of 7,
yep,
lifelong Catholic, you know, who is a constructionist. And do you want to take to the ballot in November on the other side of the coin here that you voted against her?
Yep.
You know, and we're talking about also the fact that 55 senators voted to confirm her in the first place, including Democrats Joe Manchin, West Virginia, who is running for re-election in the state, Trump carried by over 30 points. Senator Collins of Maine, who voted for her the first time around, she's a Republican. But Heidi Heitkamp of North Dakota is a Democrat. So it makes that vote a lot stickier as a no vote.
Yeah, it's I think she'll be tougher.
I foresee her having much smoother sailing, if you will.
Yeah, I can't find too much opinion on her. I mean, obviously, people will dig it up. However, I think most people can look to the Federalist Society as her ideology. But I think most people have the same problems with her that they had with Gorsuch. I think just based on, well, like any of the justices that are part of that society, I think they'll have the same problems. I don't think there's anything glaring like the Kavanaugh issue in that article that he wrote, which I think at this point, whether he agrees with it or not to this day, is probably going, damn it, why did I do that?
Yeah, it doesn't.
Why did I do that?
It doesn't matter whether he really believes that or not. The question's, I know there's much more gifted legal minds than me sitting there going, okay, so X, Y, and Z investigations we've had. You don't think the Iran-Contra affair should have been scrutinized?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So I'm leaning towards Judge Amy right now until another name comes up, but I think I'm leaning that way.
Same here.
Overall, you know, I'd have to listen to the confirmation hearings, even though those can sort of be a joke. It'd be interesting to see with Collins right now, who will not apparently vote in favor of anyone who's against Roe v. Wade, but as a Catholic, that'll be something that will most definitely come up for both of them. Susan Collins has taken a lashing. Apparently, people are sending her like coat hangers and all sorts of like death threats and stuff like that for not.
Wow.
Yeah, been a little wild, but yeah, I don't know. But we'll see. More to be told. I more to be seen. Rather, I don't know what when we'll find out. I'm
supposed to be the 9th.
The 9th. Okay, so
supposed to be this coming Monday.
We'll keep on top of that, and we'll be.
The joke of the week was Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina recommending that President Trump nominate Trey Gowdy. Yeah, I'm going, but seriously though.
Who knows? They're buddies, but. I don't know.
Trey Gowdy, the president?
No, Tim Scott.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
no, I would say not. That relationship soured.
Yep, a little bit. So, well,
sad.
Well, we definitely kept it to 25 mics. I got nothing more to add on this. We'll be back and definitely following this, and we'll bring you more Supreme Court exposés / whatever we have to bring. But it's been a
pleasure. We're going to expose something.
We're going to expose
other than
something.
Ourselves.
Oh boy. So, well,
we're
my friend.
Pull up what Jim Morrison did in concert. Hey, look at this.
Don't do that. We need Joe Moore podcast. That'd be a bit of a public opinion issue for us. But
yeah, it'd be an outrage.
Yeah, probably wouldn't be a good look. But anyway, until next time, my friend.
Au revoir.
We'll see you.